looking at verse 2 for our text this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. Notice what it says again. And Elisha said unto her, and here he asks two questions. And I'm speaking primarily to our fathers, but it'll be applicable to everyone that's here in the building today. But he said, and Elisha said unto her, here's the first question. What shall I do for thee? And I pause for a moment and ask you, especially you fathers, what can I do for you? You know, the Lord has led me here this week. I've come, and the church is, will be out some finances and everything because of the meeting. And so, what can I do for you? Is there something that you have a problem with? What do you need? What is troubling you as a father or as a mother or whoever? Do you have a problem you can't work out? Well, that's the question. What can I do for you? You know, often I, when we were in a restaurant, sometimes I'll ask the waiter or waitress, I'll say to them, now, we're getting ready to offer thanks for the food. But before we do that, let me ask you, do you have a special request? Do you have something on your heart that we could pray about? And you know, 9 times out of 10, that person will say, well, not really. You know, I can't think of anything. You can't think of anything? You don't have any need? There's no prayer request on your heart? No, not really. And you know, I find that to be true in our churches. What do you need? Most folks say, well, I don't need anything. I got everything. I got food. I got water. We got a job. We got, you know, a place to live. You know, and so we have become similar to the church at Laodicea. You know, the Lord said they had needed, they answered the Lord and said, we have needed nothing. You know, they had, they were rich. They had plenty of money. They had plenty of things. They had needed nothing. And so many people are like that. But you know what the Lord said about that church? He said, you're poor and you're needy. And you know, beloved, that's us today, isn't it? We're poor and we need. There's lots of things we need. And that's the reason we have these revival meetings. And that's the reason we come to preach, is because there's needs that you have. And I promise you this. If you have a need here this morning, the Holy Spirit will lay on the preacher's heart. He'll say what needs to be said. If he's in tune with God, if he's in communication with the Lord, he'll say what you need. And here's the key. You need to act upon that. About a few minutes, we'll give an invitation. And so during that invitation, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, there's something in your need, and the Lord has answered that, and he showed you what you need, then you need to come and present it. Maybe you're on your knees to the Lord or whatever God lays on your heart. Perhaps you need to do that. But then there's a second question. Look again at that passage of Scripture. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? That was the first question. Tell me. And here's the second question. What hast thou in the house? And the widow answered, the only thing I have is a pot of oil. And Elisha told her, well, here's what you do. Go borrow as many vessels as you can from your neighbors. Then shut the door, and you and your sons pour out of that one vessel that you have. You pour out and fill all the vessels with oil. Then you go sell the oil, pay the debt you owe, and then live on the rest of the money. So the preacher gave her the answer, didn't he? I mean, he didn't have to say, well, you come back tomorrow. I'm going to pray about this, and I'll pray about it, and then I'll see what the Lord says. No, he had the answer. And may I remind all of you, that's the reason we go to church. Your preacher, your pastor, he has the answer. He's prayed. He's sought God's will. He's asked God to give him the message. He's asked the Lord to speak to his heart, because, Lord, you know who's going to be there. I don't, but he prays, he studies, and he prepares, and he comes, and he has the answer. And Elisha, this great prophet, this great preacher of old, he had the answer for this lady. And she did what he told her to do. And she went and sold the oil, and she lived happily, paid her debt, and then lived happily ever after. Isn't that wonderful? That God has the answer for us today. And the Lord wants us to come to him And the Lord wants us to seek his will and to seek what he has for us today. So here's the question. What do you have in your house? I'll tell you what we need to do, perhaps. Maybe we just need to take a little inventory here this morning. And you go back in your mind and you just ask yourself, what do I have in my house? What do you have in your house? I'm gonna suggest a few things and see if you have these things in your home. First of all, I ask you, what do you have in your house? Do you have God in your house? Hey, who else would you want if you have God, right? I mean, why? Because in him we live, we move, and we have our being. He's the creator of all things. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He gives to all life and breath and all things. You know, if you don't have him in every room and closet and garage and basement and in every room of your heart, oh, invite him in today. Invite him in. He's the seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. Make sure he lives in your house. Make sure he's there. A house where God lives and reigns is a wonderful house, is it not? But another question. Not only do you have God, but do you have Jesus in your house? The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, he said, ye are complete in him. Wow, that's all we need then. If we're complete in Jesus, right? No house should be without him. No house should be in the world today without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, without Jesus, you don't have anything, nothing. He's the head of all principalities and powers. He's the head of the church. He's the head of all. You know something? We ought to ponder him this morning. We ought to picture him. We ought to present him. We ought to pursue him. We ought to praise him. We ought to proclaim him. We ought to preach about him. There's no one like him. Is there? Is there anyone like him? I heard one of the probably the greatest sermon I ever heard in my life preached not too long ago. And the preacher got up and preached on this subject. There ain't nobody like him. And that was a tremendous sermon. And he's right. There is nobody like Jesus, right? After all, he's the priest that's greater than Aaron. He's the king that's greater than David. He's the commander greater than Joshua. He's the philosopher greater than Solomon. He's the prophet that's greater than Elijah. He's the statesman greater than Moses. He's the father greater than Abraham. He's the redeemer greater than Boaz. Oh, David wrote in the book of Psalm chapter 34 and verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, friends, to ask you, do you have the Savior in your house today? You know, he's wonderful. He took our place on the cross. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day. He's seated in heaven waiting for us to come to him with our needs. Oh, if you have him in your house, in your heart, in your life, you're rigged for the journey ahead, are you not? Heaven is your final home if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart today. So I'm asking you, what do you have in your house? Do you have God? Do you have Jesus? Oh, don't leave here without it. Don't leave here until you've got all of that settled in your heart this morning. But something else. Do you have the Bible in your home? What a wonderful book. There's no book like it, is there? Absolutely nothing like the Word of God. It's the most precious. It's the most wonderful thing that we could ever think of and ever believe in. What would you take for your Bible? Money couldn't buy it, right? According to the, as we read in Proverbs and all, it's worth more than silver and gold. It's worth more than any bank account you may have full. It's worth more than any money you may own or possess in your life today. It's the Word of God. Don't you wish the world knew that? Don't you wish everyone knew how precious, how wonderful the Bible, the Word of God is? And so I'm asking you this morning, do you have the Bible? You see, we Baptists, we believe... We believe in all the words, every word, every part, every particle of the Word of God. You see, we believe in the 1,889 chapters. We believe in the 31,102 verses. We believe in the 791,328 words, and I counted every one of them. Amen. I want a Bible that has them all, don't you? I don't want anybody taking one little bird out, one little phrase out. I want a book that has it all. And that's the reason we believe in the King James Bible, because it hasn't been tampered with. They haven't removed this and removed that and placed this in there and placed that in there and all. You see, us Baptists, we believe in this holy, authoritative, infallible, inerrant, inspired, immutable, immovable, invincible, indispensable, undeniable, undefiable, indestructible, undebatable, unalterable, eternal Word of God. Do you believe that today? Do you believe in this book? Do you believe it's like the Bible says it is? Do you believe in the Word of God? It is forever settled in heaven, is it not? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's here to stay, praise God. People have died for this book. People have given everything they had for the Bible, the Word of God, this book that I preach from almost every night. This world and all the riches and fame and fortune and society and socials will all pass away, but my book, my word, shall not pass away. The Bible, God's Word, it's here to stay. Now, let me say this. If the Bible is worth all of that, and it is and more, don't you think it would be wise for everyone in the house that you live in should read it every day, memorize it, meditate in it? Don't you think that'd be good? Don't you think that's what we need in our homes and in our families today? Don't you think that you dads ought to take the leadership in your home and see to it that everyone reads their Bible and everyone spends time in the Word of God? Oh, don't let a day go by that you don't read and meditate in the blessed Word of God. Have family devotions. You know, that's almost a thing of the past. Not very, very many homes have time even to have family devotions. They're so busy. People are so busy running to and fro. They are so busy doing this and doing that. How wonderful it is to have a set time where you bring your family together and you read your Bible and you pray and ask questions and so on with your own family. That's unnecessary. That is so needed today in our homes. My wife and I just celebrated 52 years. We've been married together, and the Lord has wonderfully blessed our home. But the day we got married, my father-in-law was a Baptist preacher. He pastored a church. And so he was an older man when we married, and a very strict, straightforward person. He didn't just kid around. I mean, he was always serious and all of that. But I remember after we had the marriage ceremony, and then we had the reception, of course. And after the reception, my wife and I got in the car. We were ready to leave. We're going to on our honeymoon. We were leaving the church building. And just as we started around to leave, my father-in-law came out the door, and he, hey, wait a minute. And so I stopped the car and rolled down the window, and I said, yes, Dad, what is it? He said, I want to tell you one more thing. And, of course, he told me a lot already. And he said, I want to tell you one more thing. And I said, yes, sir, what is it? He said, well, when Mrs. Overby and I, that was my wife's mother, he said, when Mrs. Overby and I got to the place where we were going to spend our first night together, he said, before we did anything else, we knelt by our bedside and we opened our Bible and we read the first chapter of Genesis and we had prayer. And he walked off and said, well, I'll see you. And he walked away. But did you know something? My wife and I took our father-in-law's advice. And when we got to the place where we were going to spend our first night together, before we did anything else, we knelt down by our bedside and we opened our Bible and we read the first chapter of Genesis together, and we had prayer. And you know, for 52 years, we've been doing that every night. Sometimes when our children, we have four children, as they were growing up, I would be gone. I was an evangelist back then. I traveled all the time, and many times they could not go with me because of school and all. But you know, my wife continued that with the children. It wasn't a day go by. Never a day went by without having prayer, without having prayer requests. And I remember when my children were real small, they'd come up with some real dilly of prayer requests. My one son, he always prayed, Lord, he always asked requests that he wouldn't get demerits the next day. He was always involved in trouble and all of those things. But you know, the family, I want to tell you something, it works. It works. Oh, how we need that today. Do you have that in your home? Dads, that's your responsibility. That weight is on your shoulder. That is what you need to lead in. You need to show your family the very need of the blessed Word of God and what we have in the blessed Bible, this book. This is Father's Day. You're being honored today. And it is an honor, isn't it, to be a father? I thank God that He let me be a father. And my boys and all, and my family, and fathers and all. But oh, the responsibility that we have today to follow God's leadership. And especially, do you have the Bible in your home? Better yet, do you have it in your heart? Isn't that good? Do you have it in your heart this morning? Well, something else. Let's go on. What do you have in your house? We're trying to find out. Take an inventory. Another thing is, do you have harmony in your house? Do you have peace? Do you have happiness? The other night I was preaching and I got to this point here and I asked that question. I said, do you have harmony in your house? And a lady sitting about three rows back over here said, no, we don't. And she answered out real loud. And her husband was sitting next to her, and boy, he looked insulted. He looked really bad at all. But you know, there's a lot of homes. They do not have harmony. So many have nothing but fussing and quarreling and arguing and yelling and cursing. You men, do you go around yelling? Speaking rough and mean. You ladies, I ask you, do you fuss all the time? And do you, are you a nagger? Always nagging your husband. Well, when are you going to fix this? And when are you going to do that? And you told me you was going to do this. And you did this. And you did. Do you do that? Oh, get that out of your house. Get it out. Get it out. No home. Listen to me. No home can exist very long with all of that going on in the house. You know one way to have harmony in your house this morning? You know how? For everyone to be saved, first of all. For everyone to know the Lord as their Savior. Hey, dads, are you saved? Have you had that personal experience with Christ? If suddenly your soul should be required of thee this morning, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Oh, don't leave here today without the Lord. Don't leave here without that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in your home. And so why not examine yourself this morning and see if you are in the faith? And that goes for mothers too. And that goes for anybody here this morning. You need to make sure that you're saved today. You may need to make sure you're bound for the promised land, that you're going to glory when this life is over. And then let's make sure, everybody, make sure the husband is the honored head in the house. Make sure the wife is the heart of the house. And then make sure the children are the hub of the house. Oh, how we need harmony in our homes and in our families as we work together, as we serve the Lord together, as He leads in our life. Let's have harmony in the house. Well, something else. Let's take inventory now. Do you have something in your house that God would not be pleased with? Think now. Do you? You know, for instance, what, preacher? Well, what about all the electronics that we have this morning? Boy, we got a lot, don't we? I mean, this is the day of tech. This is tech world, is it not? We hear daily .com and .net and cell phone and texting and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. We hear all. You're familiar with that, are you not? You have that over here in Ireland, huh? Well, yeah. If you go into a restaurant, I noticed yesterday we were somewhere. The preacher paid for a lunch, and we were eating somewhere. And I noticed as I looked around, and there was lots of people there. But everybody had their phone out, and they were, you know, this is a high-tech world, is it not? and with the YouTube and Twitter and Facebook. You know, I heard a rumor the other day. I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard a rumor the other day that YouTube and Twitter and Facebook were all going to join forces together to form the largest national network in the world. And guess what they're going to call it? You Twit Face. Pretty good, isn't it? Now, I'm not sure. I just heard that rumor. I don't know if that's so happening or not. But because, you know, everything has become computerized today. Do you know that? Huh? Hey, ladies, it won't be long. Your refrigerator. It won't be long. Your refrigerator will, you know, it'll takes in everything and it'll compute everything that comes in and goes out. And you'll be coming home from work one day and your phone will ring and it will be your refrigerator. And it will tell you, bring home a gallon of milk and a dozen of Dixie Cream donuts. You all don't have Dixie Cream donuts here. That's famous in America. But anyway, that's the world we live in. But you know something? There's a dark side of high tech. And Satan has worked his way into all of that, just like he does everything else. And he's worked his way in. And Satan is out. You know what? He's out to fire those fiery darts right at your heart. He has his hand on massive destruction. And he uses all of this high tech today. If you're not careful, brother and sister, you'll get tired, pulled into this stuff that's going on in the world today. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I hear so many people, especially Christians, who have let... you know, they tell me that you can pull up just about anything on your cell phone. You know, and all of this filth and vulgarity and pornography and filth and wickedness. It's there on the phone if you're not careful. If you're not careful, you'll be drawn into that. And that's the reason we have a warning. What do you have in your house? You need to be careful. Boy, I don't want something in my house that's going to draw me away from the Lord, do you? I don't want something in my house that's going to tempt me to be in sin and do things or have thoughts in my mind that I shouldn't have. And so I shun those things. I do that all the time. I don't want to be drawn into something that's going to get me in trouble and cause me to lose my closeness with God and fellowship with Him. And so I'm asking you today, how's everything going with your technology? Television. Everybody has one, I guess. I don't. My wife and I haven't had one for 20 years. But a lot of people do, and I'm not necessarily out to get rid of all televisions, or I'm not out to do that. But I tell you what, you got to have some kind of control on that thing. You can't just let it play all the time. And all the filthy, vulgar scenes and advertisements, all the bad language so many people use on the television, I wouldn't want that piped into my home where my children could hear that stuff. I'll be honest with you. I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. I wouldn't want my children growing up having that. Do you? And so you need to be careful. You got to control this stuff and all of those things. And so I'm just saying to you today, how is it with all this technology and all the things that are going on? And I have heard, and these men here could tell you the same thing, I have heard of good preachers across our country. Great preachers, great men of God, but they got pulled into pornography and they got hung up on that, and now they're out of the ministry. Their life is ruined, their testimony is ruined, their family is ruined. We must be careful. What do you have in your house? You got to be careful. Careful with what you have. Be careful with those. We have a summer camp, the church I'm a member of in Lexington, Kentucky. We have a summer camp where young people go. In fact, the camp director, since I've been here, he texted me on my phone since I've been at their house, since I arrived in Ireland, and he was telling me about the wonderful camp they had last week. And my grandson was one of the preachers. They have preaching, you know, for the young people and all. And my grandson was one of the preachers, and he preached. And he wrote, the camp director wrote me back and said, what a tremendous message. He built me up, and I was very thankful for my grandson. But anyway, he told the story not long ago. He said that an intermediate boy, camper, while they were having camp, came to the camp director, and he said, with tears in his eyes, he said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" And the camp director said, "Of course you can, son." And he took him into his office, shut the door. And the young lad said to the camp director, he said, "Can I trust you?" And the camp director said, "Of course you can." He said, "I'd never betray you. I'd never do something to hurt you. What is that? Can I help you? What can I do?" And the young lad told him this story. He said, "Well, me and my dad have this game that we play." And he said, "When I come home from school," he said, "my dad has his office in the basement of our house. And he said, part of the basement is open. It's not underground. And he said, when I come in and I come in from school, I run around the house and I beat on his window like that. And my dad will be there working and it scares him. And so he runs out and he chases me around the house. And he said, we just have a lot of fun. But he said, the other day I came home. I ran around the house and I started to beat on the window. He said, I looked in and my dad was looking at pornography. And he said, it scared me. And so he said, I ran in and I ran upstairs to get my mother. And I told my mother, and we come running down the steps. And he said, by that time, my dad had locked the door and he had left. And he said, later, my dad denied that. But he said, I saw him. And he said, he said to the camp director, he said, here's my problem. He's not only my dad, but he's my pastor. And I tell you, friends, that's going on today. And you have to be careful with your computer. You've got to be careful with the all of this technology that we have today. Oh, friends, oh, don't let anything in your house that's going to wreck your home and wreck your family and destroy your children. You don't want that, do you? And so you've got to be careful. You've got to guard those things. The sad thing about this telephone thing is anybody can do it. I mean, little small children, you know, they can pull up, if they learn, and they learn quicker than we do. They know how to operate the phone a lot better than we do. And you know, they can pull up anything they want to see. Anything, and that's the dangers of this thing. That's the danger of this technology that we have today. I'm just saying, be careful. Guard it. Put some kind of a defense on those things. They tell me you can. Stop the bad language. You can do a lot of things that will guard those things with your technology and all these computers and different things. If you have them, put some kind of accountability behind them, even with yourself. My computer, I have one in my office when I'm home, and I turn my computer specifically. So that, and I leave my door open, and anytime my wife passes by my office, she can look in and watch and see what I'm looking at. I want accountability, don't you? I want to make sure that I'm accountable with everything that I do as far, you know, a lot of people sit up late at night and watch that kind of stuff and get it. Ooh, be careful. It's dangerous what goes on in the dark, is it not? Read Ezekiel chapter 8, and you'll find out there they did a lot of things in the dark. And you know what they said in the book of Ezekiel chapter 8? God doesn't see. God doesn't see what we're doing. That's what you think. God sees it all, brothers and sisters. God knows what's going on in your home. He knows what's going on in my home. He knows what's going on in your heart. He's the all-seeing, all-powerful, all-wise God, is he not? He knows it all. And so I'm just saying today, let's be careful. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you have any good luck charms in your house? A lot of people have those what they call good luck, you know, and they wear certain things around their neck to bring them good luck. There's no such thing as good luck, is there? No, we know that God's in control. He's the sovereign God. He has all power. Be careful with, back in America, a lot of people use the rabbit's foot. You know, a little rabbit's foot. They hang on their keychain as a good luck charm. And I tell them, well, the poor old rabbit sure wasn't good luck, was he? He lost a leg in the deal. And so it is true with all of those things. Be careful with different things that you have. I go to these different foreign countries, India, and different places like that I've been, and all of those different places. And people always give me gifts. And I've had people give me gifts that I sort of question. They looked like an idol to me. I mean, you know, the way it was fixed and the way it was set up. And you know what I do with that? Now, you won't let this out, will you? Please, you won't tell this, will you? You know what I do with it? When they're not watching or when nobody's around, I throw that stuff in the garbage. You know why? It could have been used for somebody worshiping an idol. Do you think I'm going to bring that stuff into my home where the devil manages and where the devil can... You think I'm going to invite, just open the door so the devil can come in? No, brother, I guard my home. I don't want anything like that. I don't want any magazines. I don't want anything that would drag and tear me down and give the devil an opportunity. I'm just saying, what do you have in your house? You dads today, you take inventory. And you mothers. It's so serious that we live, the world we live in today. Let's be careful what we have. So, I close by saying this. Remember the prophet? One of the questions was, what can I do for you? Hey, is there anything bothering you this morning? We're going to give an invitation here in a moment. If there is, why don't you get it settled? Why don't you come? We'll help you. Pastor here, assistant pastor. Some good ladies are here too. We'll help you. We'll be glad to. That's what we're here for. We want to be a help. And if you have a need, perhaps you need to take inventory and just see what you have in your house. Make sure you have God. Make sure you have Jesus. Make sure you have the Bible. And make sure there is nothing that God would not be pleased with in your house.